The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Today we have our guest, Ms. Chelsea Cree, joining us here today. And we have, this to me is kind of like a mid-year mental health check-in. We want to be at the best of our games. Some of us have fallen off the way path from all of those big goals that we set out at the beginning of the year. We want to get back on track with those things. And sometimes a lot of it is due to just where we are mentally, right? So we have today where we're going to be talking to Ms. Chelsea Cree, who is a distinguished high-performance psychologist and mental fitness coach and a visionary founder of Cree Coaching and Consulting. Chelsea is renowned for her work in empowering individuals and organizations to transcend limitations, rewire their minds for success, and unlock their full potential. Her approach is rooted in trauma-informed care, emphasizing the importance of mental fitness and resilience. Chelsea's dedication to advancing trauma education and awareness has positioned her as a leading voice in the field, both locally, and she's been making waves internationally as well. So in our conversation, we will be diving into the significance of mental fitness, the impact of trauma on personal and professional growth, how data-driven strategies can also help to revolutionize our approach to mental well-being. So without further ado, let's welcome Ms. Chelsea Cree to the show. Chelsea, how are you doing?
Hi, Caron. Oh my God, it's been so long. This is such a full circle moment because I feel like this was a space where I first stepped into my own power and shared my voice. So I'm actually so grateful for the opportunity to be here once again and with much more power and confidence and even belief in myself and what I do, because when I first started, I had my own self-doubt. My own mental fitness needed strengthening. So my life itself is a testimony for the power of mental fitness and why strengthening your mind can make such an inner world where we are all just trying to survive right now. Like, how do you get out of survival mode when you're literally just trying to still survive, where there's threats on every corner, where there's something to do every time, where there's such high pressure? Well, by building your mental fitness. So oh, here I
this, no, that's, listen, that is perfect, because just the other day, I was in a conversation and we were just talking about some of the things that are happening in TNT. Right. And whilst me and the group were talking about solutions, one of my friends that was in the group is like, you know, how do you guys expect solutions to be implemented when everybody is still stuck in survival mode in Trinidad?
Exactly.
When collectively we are still stuck, we're still trying to survive.
Exactly.
To even be, before we could even begin about implementing some of the things that you guys even talking about. And that gave everybody in the room like some real, you know, pause, because you can't address anything until we get our mental fitness in check, you know. Exactly. So I think it's perfect timing for this conversation.
Yeah, because, you know, mental health, everybody loves a good talk, a little mental health boost. But the truth is, the same way that you prioritize building the strength of your physical body, you have to build the strength of your brain, because our brains, based on evolution, our brains aren't wired for the level of stress that we are currently under. So it is our duty to actually consistently train our brains. It's not going and doing one thing, one intense transformation weekend, and then that's it. You know, it's consistently a drop in a glass, it is a full glass in a month, you know. So every day doing things to actually strengthen your brain so that they have the power to be resilient. Because if we leave it up to chance, we're all going to struggle with mental health. We're all going to struggle with our mental health because we're not doing what we're supposed to do for our brains to actually be strong and to be able to thrive in a world like this that is so fast paced. I mean, even as an entrepreneur, how many things do we have to think about? We need to be robust powerhouses to drive this thing forward. And how is it that we put so much focus on technical skills and actually completely ignore the foundation that drives this thing home? Like, it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't make any sense. It's like when people come to me and they self-diagnose, I'm like, Are you eating properly? Are you giving your food? Are you actually giving your brain the fuel it to perform? Are you doing work? Are you actually like your, so your nervous system is your driving engine. If it's like built up with so much stress, how do you expect it to work the way it's supposed to? You know, are you training your body to handle the capacity that is required of an entrepreneur? It's a lot of questions before we even reach to diagnosing yourself. I just have to ask, like, have you been training your brain to be strong and resilient and high performing, or are you just kind of winging it out here? You know,
ladies and gentlemen, we didn't even start, and Chelsea's already just dropping some gems on us. We didn't even start yet. Good. But you know what? Listen, everything you've said so far, I just keep thinking about, with everything that you said, one thing that stood out to me was just even in my own journey, this year for me has been all about less is more. Like, I'm not trying to do more. Like, I'm not trying to work more. And one of the biggest reasons, right? One of the deciding factors why I ended up moving to Thailand specifically was the lower cost of living. Like, when I looked at how much money I was making in Trinidad, I was making good money. And I didn't necessarily want to make more because I would have to do more, right? And I thought to myself, well, what's a good way to have what I'm earning right now and have that just, you know, kind of go further? And just earning what I was earning in Trinidad and just right, moving over to Thailand, where the cost of living is astronomically less. Now I don't have to do as much. So less has been so much more this year. But I don't have to work with more clients. I say no 99% of the time now. It's a no for me. It's just no. Right. And not for any other reason than I have a beach to go to. Right. I have something else to do, not work, right? But again, that's part of this conversation. And I love where you kind of started off, because you're right. We're really not built for what's about to happen. So to start things off, the term mental fitness is obviously going to be one that people might not necessarily know about or heard about or understand. So what does mental fitness mean? And then kind of bridge it home for the people that are in business and who are also in, you know, in decision-making roles as well.
Okay, sure thing. Also, I love that movement. I'm trying to get on your wave because I do believe in simplifying to amplify. So I think that's such a good way to go, because I think you got clear about your why, as well as who you are and your identity and like what you actually wanted for yourself and what your version of success was. So I think that, you know, it's really important for us to actually have that. That's what mental fitness is. So you actually made the step in your direction. So mental fitness is a mind-body approach to training your brain to think, feel, and perform at your highest level so that you can now unlock your full potential and achieve the success that you say you want. Because there's so many people saying, yeah, I want to be successful, I want to do this. But again, capacity. So mental fitness is what builds the capacity for you to actually reach big goals, because willpower is not enough. You know, a lot of times people think it's all in the mind, but really and truly there's deep-rooted survival instincts and automatic responses that override willpower, which you need to work on, and you have to almost rewire your entire brain, because how you grew up in childhood, any way that you were conditioned, it did not build you for success. So it's just kind of like mental fitness is that process of rewiring your brain so that you could overcome your psychological barriers, things that may have came out of survival mode to keep you safe. You now have to reprogram your entire mind so that you can go beyond survival mode into progression and growth. So that's essentially what it is. It is a very future-focused, consistent practice of training your brain in a way that aligns with the person that you say you want to become in the world. And things like, you know, so let's talk about what entrepreneurs deal with. There's a lot of overthinking. There's a lot of behaviors that don't really mesh well with the lifestyle we want. And it's because your brain is running old programming. So essentially, you have to now look at that programming and see the role you play in your own suffering and then rewire it. And it also have to get clear about your identity, because the version of success that I build, it's not the one with the fancy cars alone or things that look good. I build success that feels as good as it looks. So And as well as the fact that success that doesn't burn you out, success that doesn't sacrifice your mental well-being, because there are so many entrepreneurs that have the wealth around them, but they are so unhappy. They don't know who they are. They're fueled by people's hate, and it places the attention on everything outside of you to the point where it's, if it's taken away from you, you have no sense of self-worth because you have put your worth in things outside of yourself. So it's doing a whole infrastructure shift internally to help you create a version of success that is really aligned with the person you want to be, and not just waking up in a life that was created by other people and their validation and what they wanted for you.
Listen, I have tears in my eyes already, you know. I don't even joke here. And the reason I say that is because, hold on. You said so much there, right? You said a lot. So I posted a video.
Okay.
Of me with snakes, right?
Lord.
Right?
Bear less.
And a lot of the comments was, who is this person?
Really?
What are you doing? Like, who is this person? Where did it? And in the comments, like, I had to tell somebody, I'm like, yo, I've always loved snakes. Like, I've owned a snake. Matter of fact, I was telling the story before we started. When I got kicked out of my mom's house was because I had a snake.
Really?
Right? Right? Yeah, no, like, so I've always had this, right? So, like, now, in the context of this conversation, my life has simplified tremendously over the last 8 months. And I'm now doing things that I've always enjoyed. So when I saw going on this staycation and I'm seeing a venomous snake park and I'm getting a private tour with things that I was studying in grade one and in kindergarten, where you're hearing about these king cobras, these black cobras, this boy's pit vipers.
Right.
And you're like, you're thinking you're studying these things. You're a young boy. You're fascinated by all these things. And at 38, I'm in a snake park by myself, like geeking out over snakes. When people are like, you know, who is this? This is me as a child, right, having these childlike moments, right, as an adult. And the fact that I can, you know, the fact that you've now created this life where that inner child does come out and you get to do those things. Again, everything you just said, nail on the head the entire way, because I finally see it.
Right.
I'm seeing it.
Right. You know what I mean? Feel it. You feel the joy.
You feel it.
Because let me tell you something. People want success, but a lot of times, not everyone, a lot of times people want the feelings that they think success will bring. And when they don't get it, they're just like, I was supposed to feel something, and then they chase another goal or they go for something else because it's really something internally that they're running from. The very thing that you'll find in a partner or in a job or in fancy cars, fancy shoes, brands, it's a feeling you're after. And it's so powerful with mental fitness, learning that you can learn to cultivate those feelings even before you get into achieving and acquiring those things. So I'm just really happy to hear that, you know, your version of, you have made peace with your version of comfort, because other people might be like, you could be a millionaire. Go. I mean, you might be, but I'm just saying, you know, why are you playing with snakes when you could be grinding and, you know, hustle harder? And it's just kind of like, that version of success may not be yours, and that's okay. Freedom is yours. We're on freedom right now.
I know. I love it. Now, mental fitness, is that different from mental health? Like, is there a distinction between the two?
Not necessarily. So mental fitness is how you achieve optimal mental health. So it's the things you do to ensure that your mental health is steady and strong. So it's the things you practice so that as an entrepreneur, your mental health does not just collapse after you've scaled. Or you've taken on more, and then you're just like, what's going on? And it's like, you did not build the capacity of your brain to be able to handle the next level of success. So now your mental health is struggling because you did not build your mental fitness for that level. You feel me?
Oh, yes, I do. As Biggie Smalls once said, more money, more problems.
I suppose. But then you also have to be mindful, because that could also block people where they believe that more money is more problem. So that actually blocks them from going to more money. So even the language that you use, this thing is real complex. You know, you have to just be so careful with the things you say, because your brain is always listening. So you have to be, a lot of people who, you know, grew up in homes where money don't grow on trees, they deal with a lot of scarcity blocks and things from, you know, speaking that over and over and rewiring their brain to believe that they have to operate from lack, you know, and then rewire. Bill and mental fitness looks like rewiring their brain for abundance. So there's levels to this thing.
Ooh, no, look, no, that is dope. That being said, you know, why is mental fitness, you know, often neglected amongst the business owners and the people who are, you know, very career-driven people? Why do we neglect it?
Well, I think historically there was not a lot of awareness around mental fitness. I think it's relatively new, even in Trinidad and Tobago, the culture, we're a culture of waiting for crisis mode. So a lot of mental health resources are mobilized when things are bad. Like, it's not necessarily like, hey, let's learn things in school so that we have great mental health. It's no, you have a problem, go see about it, get it diagnosed. And luckily, we have amazing therapists and psychologists now who are kind of understanding the importance of teaching the right coping skills. But for me, I'm such a proactive force that I'm trying to get there before mental health problems are the issue at hand. I'm trying to teach people, like, let's build hyper-performing brains from childhood so that by the time our children grow up, they don't have to waste time healing trauma, leaning into addictions, doing a lot of things that they would have not gone into if they just had the right emotional regulation skills and the right tools to cope. You know, a lot of people look and they judge this person doing this, this isn't doing that, but you have to go underneath it and be like, what is that person, what is the behavior for? Not what they're doing, more like, why are they choosing that behavior? What is the function of that behavior? Looking for love in the wrong places. It's just kind of like, that is essentially a very way that we would have learned to survive. And it looks, the very things that work against us as adults were things that we learned as children as ways to cope and survive. So overthinking, impulsivity, these are things that kept us safe at one point in our lives. And now it's hard to break as adults because our brain is like, that's that thing that keeps you safe. So mental fitness has normalized other ways of coping with their mental health struggles, such as drinking alcohol, such as, you know, finding partners to fall in love with. Like, nothing is wrong with these things. I'm just saying is how you use it and what you use it for. Like, I'm not here to demonize drinking, but it's definitely a problem. If as an entrepreneur, you cannot function or feel grounded and stable if you don't have a drink, or you can't make a decision, you can't face your fears, you know, you lean into these, you know, adaptive coping tools, and it actually kind of gets into the way of the success that you want again, because now again, you're drinking, you think you have all these beautiful goals around you, but you feel empty. You don't feel good about yourself. You're getting lost in these short, cheap thrills that make you feel worse after, but really and truly, it starts with building your mental fitness, which is, that's a part of it. That's another part of it. Just coming home to yourself and figuring out why the pain is in there and what your brain needs to do to help you manage and control your impulses and heal that pain. So part of mental fitness is healing and understanding yourself and being a little kinder to yourself, because one of the biggest problems I see with entrepreneurs is they're actually very critical to themselves. They're really, really mean.
Hardest critics.
And it's just kind of like, people don't even realize that's a mental fitness skill. It's like someone criticized you so much growing up that you became your biggest bully. You internalized their voices and turned into your biggest bully. And you will never have good mental health if you have a bully living inside of your head 24/7. So even learning how to have compassion for yourself is a mental fitness skill, because a lot of people weren't given that gift growing up. They only were given love when they performed or when they did something. So they learned that their worth was tied to performance, which is why they isolate and they punish themselves when they're not doing something productive. So it's just so many reasons why I guess mental fitness isn't prioritized, because I don't think people fully understand what it is. And I've made it my mission to actually work on my ability to communicate it in a way that people can really connect with it. Because yes, I want to work with high performers, and yes, I want to work with people who want to unlock their potential, but I also want people to know that this is a tool that anybody could use to feel better about themselves in this world and to wake up feeling happy to be here instead of just feeling lost, empty, disconnected, anxious. You know, mental fitness, is he tool? Is he missing link? You know? So.
No, that's huge. And I mean, we all feel it. We just don't know how to put a name to it. We don't know what to call it. So we don't know how to formally go about creating a strategy to kind of overcome it. But nonetheless, we are all feeling it. We're all feeling those effects. So for the people that are in the business community, they're running organizations, what are the consequences of our leaders, especially those in the business community, because we spend a majority of our time at work, right? What are some of the consequences when our leaders are not prioritizing their mental fitness? How does that show up at work? Just so that people could kind of understand some of the things. Because again, they're at work, just a place we spend the most time at. And most people don't always feel good at their jobs, but they just don't know why.
Right.
So how does it, what are some of the consequences? How does it show up as business leader?
Everything poor mental health related. So you name it, anxiety, numbness, self-disconnection, emotional volatility. So a lot of times in leadership spaces, you see a leader who is so the strategic thinker, he's a chess player, but every time he is potentially criticized or he perceives that there is a threat to his power, he turns into that 10-year-old boy who shouts at people and think that it's okay, when really and truly that is not really the qualities of a true business person, and it communicates that they can't control their emotions. You know, this very reactive, rude, disrespectful, that's not the qualities of true leadership, you know? So when you don't build your mental fitness, you show up as a leader that is extremely sensitive to criticism, that thrives on making people feel small. You also need certain things to cope with, because internally, you know, something is wrong. You might wear a brave face, but you know, internally, you know, you feel empty. There's just so many things. You struggle with depression because something is not being met. So you perform at work and then you go home and you drink or you lean into other activities that give you other activities. You know, a lot of people,
we're seeing that on display. We're seeing that on display right now.
Yeah, a lot of people actually split.
Yeah.
So they live double lives. You know, there's just a lot of complex ways that people who are very in high functioning environments portray these things. They get a heart attack. Because what happens is when you neglect your mental health, people think mental health is just in your mind, but all your mental health is directed by your nervous system, which interacts with all other bodily functions. So when you do not manage your stress and there's all that stress in your body, you actually increase your rate of developing chronic illnesses and getting heart attacks, diabetes, cardiovascular issues, because your body's not designed to operate with emotion that way. We're designed to express. So when you repress and you suppress, and you do, which is part of mental fitness, and you don't manage your emotions effectively, you take a toll on your physical health. That's why people also have pains, they migraines. It's just a bunch of unexplained physical symptoms, exhaustion, you know, but they burn out. And then they get to a point where they're not even connected to their empathy anymore. They're almost like robots. So there are just so many ways that your lack of mental fitness shows up. And I, again, like you said, people don't really know how to express it or you know, use the language to really tell people what's going on. And we also exist in cultures where you tell people you should share how you feel, and then he's saying, Brad, why are you crying on the internet? It's a lot of confusion and messaging. And you know, our brain's top goal, don't really care if we're happy or not. Our brains just want to keep us safe, even if it looks like doing the very things that harm us, but it's what's familiar. So your brain doesn't like to create new pathways. It's a lot of resistance. It'd rather just give you the thing that you've been doing to cope, rather than like really pushing you to, you know, heal and to make the hard choices. You know, it's kind of like at the gym. When you first go, it's like, this is the worst, you know?
Oh yeah.
Get stronger, and you're like, yeah, I'm strong. It's the same as your brain. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. People will go, you know, therapy or coaching a few times, be like, this is not working. It's like, would you go to the gym and like lift 10 weights and you're not like Man of Steel the next weekend and say it's not working? No. like consistency is the name of the game for brain rewiring, you know? So
we see how it shows up negatively when leaders aren't prioritizing. What does healthy leadership look like, though? Because I feel like a lot of the conversations that we have across the Caribbean, you it's more on the negative side and how it's showing up, right?
Right.
But what does healthy leadership look like?
Healthy leadership looks like great mental health. It looks like strong sense of purpose. It looks like just having respect for the people that you work with. Again, it's in these simple things, in these simple interactions. It's being able to manage big emotions. It's being able to motivate people. It's being able to also be a represent. So people love to tell people what to do, but do they embody the things that they preach? No. So you will literally have a training on emotional intelligence, and then any next we have a meeting where you embarrass an employee. You know, so it's just also embodying the things that you preach so highly about, even when you're under high pressure, because everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing when they're calm and they're in a state of peace and they have clarity. But it's when people are under pressure that they start to malfunction, or they start to do things that they wouldn't do. They might, even in our personal lives, we know we're not supposed to be cursing the people we love. We know we're not supposed to be doing certain things, the silent treatment, all of these things. But as soon as our brains go into fight or flight, all access to logical thinking is out the window. Even in relationships, you know you're not supposed to be guessing or not telling people certain things. You're crashing out. You know, yeah. So leadership looks like being able to embody all the things you would teach and preach in your leadership trainings and in your employee meetings. It's as simple as that. You know, it's so much
it
more.
It starts with that.
An advocate. It's like, okay, even like, you know, I've seen like, you know, community leaders and stuff talk about peace and love in the community, and even their own children, they are very unkind too. You know, they resort to certain types of discipline that aren't really appropriate for the type of leadership they portray. So it starts with actually being able to like embody the things that you already know here, but it just kind of shows you that willpower is not always enough. You have to be able to hold yourself in those high pressure moments to choose new behaviors, and not the ones where you're like, well, I'm a leader, so I could get away with that. You know, you have to hold yourself to the same standard. And that's what I'm saying, like for leaders, I think, for me, they know strategy, strategic thinking, like all of the beautiful terms. But you see, it start to kind of struggle when their brains get back into survival mode.
I feel like we have that a lot, where everybody reads all the books, right? They read all the books. They know all the terms, but they know the terms when it comes down, when it comes time to diagnosing you.
Right.
Or putting a label on you.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there thinking, you're telling me about this, but you're not embodying any of the things you're even preaching to me right now. We have a lot of performance amongst our leadership and people who, as you said, are just not embodying all the things that they are talking about. And that creates such a ripple effect. And I honestly believe that, and I mean, you could chime in on this, but when you spend a majority of your time at work and your workplace is now one of the most toxic components of your life, it is going to have a ripple effect. And then when people leave the office and they're upset, they're drained, they're emotionally unstable, and you know, prone to something pushing them over the edge. And then you start looking around to seeing, you know, what's happening in our society? Why are we crashing out? A person could eat somebody's gyro in the fridge and crash out and grab the gun and shoot the person. It had nothing to do with the gyro.
Right. It's then nervous system capacity again. You know, it's just the straw that breaks the camel's back.
You know, so just kind of explore with us, you know, the ripple effects from that top down and how it kind of starts to play out in the wider society.
But like you said, that's just what happens. It's like a lot of leaders spend time preaching these great things, but really and truly, if you don't deal with your own inner mental infrastructure, it's going to, people are going to watch you teach this and not feel safe with you because what you're saying doesn't match what you're doing. And it creates a disconnect with the ability to actually create a culture of psychological safety where you feel safe speaking up. Because there's another problem people have, which is like, you will look at somebody else and judge them so harshly. But when you do it, it's, well, I didn't really mean to. Or you have so much compassion towards your own mistakes. But with others, it's like you're ready to just rip their heads off or judge them so harshly or, you know, talks like, I'm not trying to get into the cast. Actually, let's not even go there, right? But I've just seen the situations where we look at people, we judge them so harshly, we say the worst things, but then there's like an internal disconnect because these are things that you're also doing. So when you are in a role where you're in front of people, that's blowing up 10 times because you're a leader. You have a bigger responsibility than the average person. So when people see you living this way, they don't see the need to really listen or follow what you say because you're not a credible source. You're not safe to our nervous system is like, that person, no. We automatically have a defense mechanism that blocks us from being able to even listen to this leader. We might listen or perform, but on a deeper level, it's like authentically, we don't even want to connect with that leader truly because they're not practicing what they preach, you know? And it's just unfortunate that a lot of wrong things have just been normalized. And the reason that people aren't speaking up is because they feel powerless. It's almost like this learned helplessness because even the very forces designed to protect you don't have the training that they need to make you feel safe or to make you feel heard or to, you know, so it's just systematic, it's personal. There's just so many different factors in place that kind of block us from really being able to like unlock our potential, which is why I encourage people to build their mental fitness in their own time, because it's not something you have to go to see somebody for. It's something you do in your own time. It's something you practice, just like working out. You don't have to go to the gym, but you could take a run. It's something we have no choice but to do, else we will suffer.
Yeah.
Because life come in, as we have seen since COVID, it's threat after threat after threat, thing after thing. We are fighting for our lives. Well, I've been working on my mental fitness, so I'm doing okay. But but you need your brain as an entrepreneur and a business and a leader. Everything around you crumble. And another thing too is like we're so normalized being so unhealthy, and it is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a society that's kind of sick. So the thing about it is when I see people running their businesses, not eating, not drinking water, not working out, not doing it until one thing happens and then they're sick or they end up in the hospital, some extreme thing happens, and I said it doesn't have to get there. You know, if you take care of yourself and do what you're supposed to do, you would not get sick. And, you know, when we're healthy, we have a million problems. But when we're sick, we have one problem. To get better. So, you know, it's like people are like, no, I need to make this money out of hustle. But I'm like, you're going to spend that money back in healthcare if you don't take care of yourself.
Guaranteed.
You're going to pay the price at some point. So, why put yourself in that position? If you're such a long game player, if you're a chess player, all these things, deal with yourself accordingly. Play long game with yourself. Do the things you need to do to run a sustainable business. Because capacity is a big thing. If you scale in and you go into the next level and you do not have the mental capacity to take on your responsibilities, you'll crumble. You'll burn out. You'll feel to give
Absolutely.
Up. You know? So you'll just... You'll be working one day and next day be like, I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to talk to nobody. Like, you just want to just go in isolation to reset, you know, and as a business, you can't really live like that. If you want to have a sustainable business, I mean, if you design systems and then you want to live that way, cool. But I'm just saying, based on your business type, you cannot afford to build the type of success that'll crumble as the pressure heats up. And the pressure is going to come as an entrepreneur. Trust me. So you need to prepare yourself for pressure.
With the world of external factors that are weighing in. There's always going to be threats, and everything impacts you one which way or the next. It could be something as simple as Zuckerberg deciding to raise the prices on ads. Mm-hmm. And now your business expenses have just increased by 50% because you predominantly, there's so many things that can impact your business. So if you don't have the mental fitness to, you know, to stabilize yourself when all these things are happening.
Yeah, if you don't even strengthen your emotions. So people always associate emotions as these fairy things, but really and truly, using your example, the price of something goes up, you're going to get an emotional fear. You're going to have one of your greatest survival skills is your physical and emotional response to fear, whether it's a real threat or a perceived threat. So in business, a lot of threats come up and your response to the fear is what makes or breaks your abilities as an entrepreneur. Because like I said, when we go into survival mode or fight or flight, all access to logical thinking kind of goes blank. It's literally biological. So it's just kind of like you have to train your brain to stay in a driver's seat and not just spiral out of control, because then you make the worst decisions and then later on be like, why did I do that? So mental fitness keeps you from spiraling. It keeps you from making a decision out of fight or flight. It keeps you grounded and steady to make the best long-term choice for you.
This is why I love talking to Chelsea, you know, because everything she just said, let me tell you something. I'm in the snake pit with two venomous snakes. I know what I'm supposed to do, right? I know what I'm supposed to do. But instinctively, all that logic of what I'm supposed to do goes out the window. And the only thing I instinctively do is grab a slipper. What am I going to do with this? But I know what I'm supposed to do, right? I know I'm supposed to stay calm.
Right.
Stay calm. Just stay right there. Just be calm. And right. and enjoy the presence. No. Give me my slipper, because, again, logic goes out the window in the face of danger and perceived threats, you know? So, you know, maybe next time I'll be calm with the two venomous snakes in front of me. But
you'll have to train your muscle for it, though. You'll train your calm muscle for it, because it's like any brain, the things that we've been doing have the strongest bridges. The new things we're supposed to do, so you have to visualize yourself without the slipper. Start mentally rehearsing what you're supposed to do to prime your brain to perform the way that it should. You know?
Correct. I'm
sure you already planned to do it the right way, man. Froze.
Absolutely. Because in the face of imminent death, logic.
So the strain that you have is in the slipper.
Listen to me. I have to laugh at that one. Yes. Funny. Now you've been working with a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, a lot of people in leadership. You know, what are some of the common, like in 2025, you know, the world has changed so much. You know, what are some of the common emotional challenges that you are seeing when you are working with people in the business community?
So I see a lot of them using fear as a driver. And while it works temporarily, your life cannot be built on that type of friction, where your fear of looking a type of way or your fear of not being good enough, that we always come back to enoughness, because a lot of things we do in life is to get loved, accepted, or feel like we're enough. So a lot of them have been performing, and they still feel so empty and they still don't feel like enough. And it's like going underneath to feel like, where did you learn that your worthiness was tied to your achievements, or that you're worth nothing if you're not productive? So we work on training their self-compassion brain muscles, where they're actually a lot kinder to themselves. And people are like, oh, that's airy-fairy, but real resilience is actually built on self-compassion. Because when life knocks you out, you don't need another tough thing to break you. You need somebody that's compassionate, going to be in your ear, even if that person is yourself, to tell you, you're going to have to get back up. And if you had a son or a daughter, you're not going to, when they're at their lowest, right? You're not going to be like, you're so dumb. You're so stupid. This is of talk that a lot of entrepreneurs have, especially in men. You know, they think, grit guy. I mean, nothing is wrong with grit. Grit is very important, but real resilience knows when to rest. Because when you don't rest, then again, we go back to getting sick, we go back to burning out, we go back to suicide. Like, it just, and it lands you in some really dark places. So I actually have one of the greatest skills I have to teach entrepreneurs is to watch the way they speak to themselves. Actually start to map the kind of thoughts, because they spiral into overthinking negative thoughts. Like, our brain has a negativity bias naturally, so we pay attention to the negative. There's people who, they achieve great things and they're like, you congratulate them and it's like, yeah, I guess that was cool. But then they fail and it's like, oh my God, the world is ending. It's like, help me understand. It's like, you achieved another goal. Oh my God, meh. But if they don't hit the goal, their life is ending. They can't function. It's the worst. They can't go outside, you know? So it's helping them kind of become it's meta awareness. So become aware of their own patterns and start like mapping it logically. Like, how does this make sense? You know, and they kind of connect to, wow, that really, really doesn't make much sense, you know? Yeah. And another thing too is even like, you know, chasing empty success. So for me, I believe direction is more important than speed, right? You need to know where you want to go. Else you will be pacing yourself, going, 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 and end up in a destination that is somewhere you never even wanted to go in the first place. So it's also going, and a lot of times our identity drives our behavior. So beyond the behaviors that people are doing, I go to the identity of the person and I'm like, who are you? A lot of times people don't even know who they are outside of what they're doing in their career. And they don't know their values or the things that they value. So, you know, a lot of times people kind of grow up with their parents wanting things for them or always seeking external validation or other people's opinions, and they have no self-trust. They don't trust themselves to make decisions. You know, I see that being a big problem, and it's like training them to learn to trust yourself, learn to go with your gut, learn to tap into like your instincts as well. I mean, nothing is wrong with seeking knowledge, but there comes a point in your life where you have to have a very strong relationship with yourself. Yes. And another thing I see is cognitive rigidity. So that's just a fancy word for basically stuck in a fixed mindset. So it's just like, I'm this, I'm that. And I'm like, okay, but where's the proof? They're like, well, true. But still, this nothing. And it's just kind of like, I understand assessing factors and all that, but you have to have a growth mindset in this life. Like, the times are always changing. If something worked before, that's fine, but it ain't working now. So you're going to have to update your mental maps to find something that works. You have to stay agile. You have to adapt, else your business will fall behind. You know, people, this is a great thing I've learned. Like, we always say, never give up, never give up. Yeah, don't give up. But sometimes one of the smartest things you can give up and pivot.
Know when.
So you have to kind of know, you have to keep your brain very flexible, and, you know, flexibility, it could bend and it doesn't break. So that's why, like, it's so important for us to be mentally flexible, because we live in a situation that is not static. It's always changing. It's a very dynamic landscape. And you have to adjust if you want to be successful as an entrepreneur. Things that may have worked before COVID are not, may not work after, in terms of AI, since we're doing that today too, apparently. Things are changing, systems are changing. So you, as an entrepreneur with a business that has a different model, you're going to have to adapt. You can't let the fear of it consume you to the point where you spiral and you just freeze. You have to stay ready and be like, okay, this is what's happening. This is what I need to do. You know, instead of giving in to the fear of what's going to happen. Like, yes, it's okay to observe it, but don't let it consume you, because you need your mind to be very sharp as an entrepreneur.
Now, culturally, oh, sorry, I cut you off. I was going to say, culturally, one of the things that, you know, in especially on a program like Digital World, where all we're ever talking about is forward movement, forward thinking things, right? Innovation, right? And every week we're always told, nah, we don't want that, or we don't need that. No, we like things. We like it as it is, right?
Right.
And, you know, Karen, you're trying to push too far, right? How do we, so Caribbean-wide, not just in TNT, but Caribbean-wide, we have kind of just gotten to a place, we like it here, and we want to keep it here, right? We don't want to go back, we don't want to move forward, we want to stay right here. How do we start to condition people to start getting into that growth mindset that would allow them to stay flexible with the times? Because I'll hear things like, you know, old age or people not tech savvy within the context of tech. Right. But then I'm in Asia and I'm watching 80-year-old woman, cute, pulling out their smartphones, QR code scanning, using their smartwatches, tapping. So no, I'm watching all the old people doing all the things that they say we can't do because we're not tech savvy in the Caribbean. How do we start building that capacity to get that growth mind? Because it's a big one, but it's a challenge so big and so important that because we don't have that growth mindset collectively, and we'd like to just kind of stay right there, what do they say? Culture beats strategy every single day. Culture's beating strategy bad across the Caribbean. So how do we start to kind of get people into that frame of mind?
I keep it quite honest, just generally. And the thing is, this has been one of my hardest fights. Because as somebody who understands the implications of ignoring mental fitness, I see it being the root of many problems we face. And, you know, it's been me actually trying to create my own strategy right now to bring this into schools, bring this into organizations, bring it into just different social spaces, because we will really fail in certain contexts if we don't work on our mental fitness. And, you know, when we're coming from the end of people struggling with their mental health more, and I'm like, okay, we could come from that end, but let's take it before we even get there. Let's actually start to mobilize resources into helping people understand their mind, because I still feel like we don't even have much areas designed for understanding the mind. You know, there's a lot of space for body and physical health, and mental health is still relatively new. I mean, it's been around a while, but in terms of coming to the forefront, a lot of times, like, people were still, even when a few years ago, people were like, oh, use the thing for the mad people, them. You know, it's still little jokes where people equal mental health equals St. Anne's, or mental health equals something is wrong with you. So people don't even like to look at themselves because they can't deal with the shame of something being wrong with them. You know, so it comes from a lot of shame, even in family structures where it's like, you're not supposed to talk about what's wrong with you. You're not supposed to air your business. You know, it's just so many complex levels of things from so many different avenues of, like, of the world. And it's like an interplay of all of these things. But from where I stand, for me, it's just educating people to know that, like, suffering isn't really normal. Because I feel like
We've normalized that
we have normalized. So, like, even me sometimes, that when something as hard as happening to me, I go, so the badness go. I'm like, so the badness go. You know, so I have to also check in with myself to see, like, where I've also there's just so much crisis in the world too. We've also become desensitized from global suffering. Our suffering, we're just almost in autopilot. And we have disconnected from the deeper parts of ourselves, and where some of us are fine with being in our performative states. But I tell you, this fight is not for the weak. I'm trying to build my own mental fitness to take it on, because I love my country, and I feel like Trinidad people has so much potential, but we just don't know how to tap in. And I'm like, hey, I'm here, I can show you. But being just a girl and transitioning my identity to being a true powerhouse leader, I have also been rewiring my brain, you know, as well, to figure out a lot of these problems as well. You know, I am still in my process. So to say that I have the answer and I know everything, there's still so much I have to learn and understand about the culture, but I am trying to get to a point where I now find ways to apply mental fitness and be like, okay, this works, this doesn't work. I'm still in my testing and my trial and error phase, but I bet you I'm gonna figure it out.
No, listen, you're absolutely right. I think you've kind of outlined one of the biggest challenges that so many of us have. So many of us have had the opportunities to go to school. Many of us have gone to school abroad, been able to see how things are done in other different countries, for better or for worse. And that's given you some great ideas. Even when it was bad situations you were living in, you were like, hey, I've learned something from this I can now take and bring back to Trinidad. And then as soon as we come back and you're trying to, same thing like you said, hey, we have a way forward to kind of move the needle, but then you're met with so much collective resistance that building that mental fitness to withstand everything that comes with it as a change maker in TNT yeah. is a battle that if your back was never broad before.
I'm in warrior training right now, okay?
Yeah.
I am training for the battlefield. I'll say that.
It's a lot.
It's like, yeah. it's okay. Like, yeah. Why not building mental fitness and help people become more resilient, high performing? Nah, it's okay. Okay.
And it's the same thing when I tell people, like, hey, you know, we have a lot of limitations in the Caribbean business-wise because a lot of these solutions that we use on a day-to-day are not made in the Caribbean. So something as simple as social media. There's no social media platform in the Caribbean, so it's limited. So even in saying, hey, guys, we don't get access to all the things that allow businesses to thrive on social media in other countries.
Right.
We are going to need things like websites, these other things to put in place in order to have that level of experience. And it really is the same thing. Response. Yeah, okay.
Okay. That sounds great. Anyway. That is a great idea. Well, anyway.
But the great ideas, and this is the challenge, the great ideas always force people to look at themselves, mm-hmm. look at their skill sets, and have to be honest to say either, A, I'm not equipped to even do that vision or execute that vision that you're trying to give us. I don't have those skill sets, but I would like to learn and get to that point. But what happens a lot is, and what happens most times are, okay, your vision is cool, but I don't have those skills, so we're not doing it.
Agree.
And that's just it.
They just don't even value it. So, for example, I've learned in a lot of organizations as well, there's a disconnect between millennials as well as the generation before. So there's a clash in the way that people think, because some people in the organization is like, we should do this, man. And others are like, no, we never did it like that before, so we're not doing it. Yeah. So it's even there's their own tension within organizations where new style thinking and old style thinking are running it up, and companies have no choice now but to be like, something has to happen because everything is now split in half with the types of thinking. So I'm kind of happy for that, because I think a lot of people in the generations to come, they are movers and shakers, trailblazers. Like, they're learning, they're getting themselves educated, and they're the ones now taking up positions of power. And it's going to take some time, but I think there's a lot of hope, because I just feel like even within organizations, they're like making certain, you know, room to have the conversation versus where before, where it's like,
just shut it down.
Yeah, it's like, we don't need those things. I think people are actually realizing, thank God for, I mean, I'm not saying thank God for COVID, definitely not thank God, but I think that COVID opened a lot of people's eyes around the importance of taking care of their mind, because they're most powerful workforce weren't giving them the results that they were looking for anymore, and they realized the technical skills are not enough anymore. We gotta care. We gotta care now. So it's been a fight, but I think that it progress, the move, it's slowly happening. Because even you, like, people are business people are looking to you, like, I need to subscribe, he needs to help me with my business. People who were so against social media, so against websites, they're now actually looking at others, be like, and that's the thing. Sometimes we look to others to see how they're reacting to things and be like, oh, if that worked for you, I want to try it. You know, it's just.
Yeah. It's happening slowly but surely. And I think as we start getting more examples of people creating businesses or living the lives that we want, and we can now see that it actually is attainable. It's definitely opening. It's definitely, I think, honestly, the conversations with the people, like, I have, since I've moved here, I've met people in government. I've met people in some of our institutions.
Right.
And they have come out here and we've met. We just don't, you know, take pictures and, you know, fanfare. But right. But you're people are coming out here and they're asking the question, you know, what was the decision to make that move? And to your point, just being able to look at what's happening in the world, understand the risks, be willing to make that pivot, you know, And you make the comments of, you know, people are now looking to you to, you know, whoever wasn't trying to build websites before or do certain things digitally, right. You know, now you're looking at me, and half the time I'm saying no, because I've understood for me and myself, I don't want to be busy, like maxed out busy, right. Working, right? I have learned, or I'm learning, because I'm still a work in progress, but I am learning what that work-life balance looks like. I am learning how much money do I need to make to really live what I want. And I don't need to make $200,000 a year. No, I'm not trying to make as much money as I could possibly make. But what is that balance? What is that balance? And because of that, and I think because, you know, when you're living in Canada, then coming to Trinidad, then now living in Thailand, I realize the way I would work and the way we would work in North America, where you're working 2 and 3 jobs, you're working 24/7. You know, you've been out there.
You're not a human being. You're just doing. You're not a human being over there.
You're doing because you're doing so much because of one, your bills are high, so you know you got to make money, right. And the only way most people know how to make money is through just trading their time for money, right? And if you need more money, give more time. But time is the one thing we don't have an endless supply of, which is also, you know, which is also pushing people into burnout, which leads to my next question, right? At what point can people start to recognize that there is emotional fatigue happening? They are getting to that point where it's burnout. But again, I think that burnout, to the untrained person, burnout just happens, right? So how do we start to recognize we're getting to that burnout where we don't just wake up and it's like the entire world is falling down?
Yeah, so again, this context is like so important, because I think that there are some people that they've been burned out their entire lives. They don't even know what not being burnt out is, so that they have been running high levels of stress their entire life, that at one point their body does just collapse because it says no more. So it's not like a progressive type thing. It's like that's the emotional baseline for most of their life. So it just kind of, and that comes from also being so disconnected from peace and stability, that like stress is your norm. So how are you even supposed to perceive a gradual progression when stress is literally all you've known? You know, so sometimes it's not a universal type application question, because your context and who you are as a person and your makeup and your lifestyle and things are so important. But what I can say is that it starts with actually just connect, like becoming more aware. And again, when we're so in work mode, survival mode, we're not even paying attention to ourselves. Some people even let themselves go, you know, they don't go to the gym. They are so disconnected from their existence beyond their working and stuff that they're not even able to track that until something literally knocks them out. And it's kind of hard to just track it again, because as I said, sometimes people need that wake-up call. You know, they are burning out and they're just like, okay, cool. Push harder. All these posters say like no pain, no gain. So they're thinking like I'm doing the right thing. I have to keep pushing. But you know, again, it's like building that connection to your body, because so many of us are actually disconnected from our bodies. Building back that connection to know, like some people don't even know when they're hungry. They go a whole day without eating, and it's like, wait, I didn't even eat. You know, so it's actually building back that like connection to yourself and your body sensations to kind of pick up like, oh wait, I have a pain, because there's some people pain in my chest, whatever, keep it going, you know. So people aren't even paying attention to the things that are happening until it's at a screaming level. And it's like, it's so hard. Like I tell people all the time, like I could see people deteriorating, because for me, I'm watching how you behave. So I could see people, I know the true essence of my friends, I know the true essence of the people I work with. I could feel their authentic selves. And when they're burnt out, they lose it. They lose that ability to connect in a deep way. I could tell that they're very desensitized to living. They're just kind of like, it's almost a little robotic in nature. And I'd be like, hey, is anything thing? Like, nah, cool, whatever. I'm like, anything change? And it's almost like they're in denial of that burnout. So it starts with actually overcoming the shame again of something not being okay. So I will tell people, like, you know, as you start to kind of feel little body sensations or things that just don't feel right, take a look within. But it's so simple. Just take a look within. Like, are you feeling like yourself? Are you lashing out at people? Are you doing things differently than you would? Because again, like I said, some people grew up a certain way, and you know, it's hard to track because that's their baseline. And people don't even know that they could get addicted to their stress hormones. So that means that, like, when they're at peace, it's like something's wrong. Their bodies don't like it. They're unstable. They're anxious because stress is all they know. And that's what their body's addicted to. So it's just so many different things to look at when it comes to, like, you know, taking a look at burnout. And I mean, I know that the value of, like, having, you know, classifications and, you know, categories and stuff like that. But I think that because we're all living such unique lived experiences, I think just taking a look at your life fully and understanding yourself could kind of give you a better look into what you really need. You know, anytime, like even any type of rest that you need, because people think rest is just sleeping, but there are 7 types of rest that we need, you know, to fully feel functional and fulfilled. And creative rest, sensory rest, mental rest, like there's just so many different factors when it comes to being human. And for me, I am like, this is my own work, being able to put it into like these broad classifications for language purposes. But every time I meet someone new, I'm like, wow, what do we have here? Like, new challenge to solve. You know, it's such a exciting experience, because what might work for someone might not work for someone else. And then I will never be like, this is supposed to work, you do it. Yeah. I will compassionately understand you, your psyche, what you've been through, your context, you know, the way you show up in the world, what you want to do. Like, it's just so many different pieces of this puzzle to put together. So
yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But we are back right here on The Digital World, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM with my special guest, Miss Chelsea Cree. Miss Chelsea, we have a couple more minutes. I have a couple more questions. Like I said, this is the TNT Mental Health Check-In, the halfway point of the year. This is our mental health check. I feel like we got to do like a quarterly check-in with you.
Right.
So you can keep, you know, so you can keep
just reminding y'all,
keep,
like, hey, don't neglect yourselves. Like, hey, y'all important. Like, don't let your nervous systems get too fried. Like,
no, but we absolutely need to hear it, you know. So with the remaining time we have left, the reason why I wanted to have the conversation on AI is because one of the things that I've started to see just in my own personal connections happening a lot, and I had asked the question on Facebook, and just the comments were really, really good, and I wanted to get your take on it, is people are now going to ChatGPT. ChatGPT has become the therapist, the global therapist of the world, right? But how it's being used is interesting, right? So we could be having a conversation and something feels off, but we don't know why it's off. We have no idea. Again, we don't have the tools. We might not know the words, but the conversation has us feeling off, but we don't know why. What people have started to do now is take a screenshot or copy and paste the entire conversation, throw it into ChatGPT and ask ChatGPT, hey, I want you to act as a psychologist or act as a therapist and take a look at this thread or this chain of conversation, and I want you to kind of break down what is happening. And then people are now able to now ask questions and interact with the information and get a third parties, right? I'm using air quotes for the people who are, you know, not watching live stream, but using it as a third party to kind of break down what is happening. And I think this use of ChatGPT has blown up over the past couple of months is the information has been, and the breakdown has been astounding, right? Mm-hmm. With AI, how is AI able to kind of help people, at least even if it's in a temporarily even if it's in a small situation, like I said, like people just don't understand what's going on. Like, how has AI been impacting people and mental health? You know, what's been going on in that space?
I love AI. Like, I use AI. I mean, again, I'm an authentic person, so I will be honest. Like, AI plans my PCOS meals. It helps me do, you know, budget thing. Like, so I've been building my financial literacy. It helps me break down, like, you know, financial concepts that may have been difficult in terms of investing, things like that. So AI has been able to help me in a lot of different ways. And to be quite frank, I think AI is very useful for mental fitness coaching, as because of the fact that is that something you're responsible for. So if you don't have the resources to seek out a coach or to have somebody work with you one-on-one, you know, a lot of times, mostly elite athletes, executive people, you know, would make that step. But for the average person home who does not have access to those resources to do that, I think AI is incredible, because you can literally describe your context and be like, what are the top mental fitness tools that I could use to support myself during this time? It's going to give you breath work from the greatest researchers. Even if you want to do books, it's like, okay, using this researcher, please develop whatever, and help, like, you know, there's different branches of mental fitness work. So I am very, very honest with this and saying that, yeah, I do believe that AI is very powerful in helping people develop their mental fitness. And people might be like, oh gosh, Gil, don't say that, but I'm saying it because I don't care about the, I want people to get help. I want teenagers.
At the end of the day.
Teenagers who are at home, who are parents, who may not know better, who may be in situations of, you know, abuse, who need to train their minds to be okay for school, for work, for things. I need that. I want them to get help. I don't care. I mean, am I saying that it's going to be the same? Definitely not. Y'all can't get Chelsea Creel like that. But
yeah.
what I'm saying is, it's going to give you the relief you're looking for. Just like people who can't afford to go to the gyms, or, you know, they find things at home to do in front of their computer and they find their own results. It may not be the same as, you know, a professional who needs it, but they get the results that they want. They start feeling better. They start losing, you know, they start taking certain supplements. I think as in an evolving world, it's your business to use AI in a way that benefits you. Again, it's a mind thing. As much as you want to fight against it, and AI, I mean, I'm sure it's pretty dangerous in some ways, but if you have a resource and it's the only resource you have, why would you rob yourself of the experience of benefiting from that resource?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, just to kind of highlight, this doesn't replace psychologists or therapists at all, right?
Or crisis mode.
At the end of the day, correct.
Like, crisis mode is a different situation. You definitely need professional help for that. But I'm talking about the average person that just wants to strengthen their brain and feel better in life.
Yes. So when you're interacting with AI, it absolutely can help you. And it's a resource, especially on and even the free version of ChatGPT or any of these tools, there's a lot that you can get from it. But like I was saying earlier before we had came on the program, you still have to kind of know what to give it to help you, versus when you're working with Chelsea Cree, Chelsea Cree is equipped to pull everything out. She knows how to get to where she needs to go. You still have to kind of have a little know-how to kind of get to that point. But even just in the situations where people are, a situation has come up, they don't feel good about it, but they don't know what to make of it. Even just being able to give that situation to AI, and now you have somebody there that's diagnosing and breaking it down with you and telling you what's going on, giving you some strategies.
Validation.
I think from even the conversations that I've had, to your point of validation, I think that's a huge thing, right? Where it's validating a lot of people's experiences and showing. And again, even when you were in the wrong, it's still showing you in the most kindest way where you were wrong. And it's not somebody screaming at you, telling you. or right. criticizing you or being passive aggressive or doing all of those things to show you that you were wrong. So even in that, I'm even like I use it as well. Like any situation where I'm unsure about, I'm giving it to it. So even just in the when I'm wrong or when the person is wrong, and it's just explaining it to you with some empathy, with some validation, with some love and some care, and some patience, right? Getting that information and getting that feedback has been, you know, just so helpful. So it's good to hear just, you know, your experience, you know, with it.
I definitely use it because in terms of like the world of psychology is huge. So sometimes for me, I'm just like, can you compare these research findings with other? I mean, I don't have time to sit through and go through all the data at times. So sometimes ChatGPT helps me with, you know, comparing scientific views and, you know, what works and what has been shown in different studies. So it actually helps me get through in my own personal work when sometimes I don't want to pull a book and go in it. It's just like, oh, this book, this researcher, what did they have to say about this and compare it to this other researcher? So it kind of helps me also stand my ground on like the research I would stand in front of or that type of thing. You know,
but be more strategic.
Exactly. But what I also will say though is that sometimes people don't realize that therapy and coaching and all these things is not built on any fancy frameworks that people use. It's actually built on a therapeutic alliance. So it's actually any relationship that people find the healing and the breakthroughs because they've never had this before. They've never had a person in their life to see them without criticism or to accept them in their fullness. So what really gets the breakthrough is the safety that their nervous system feels co-regulating with another nervous system. So it's just like why being around certain people, we feel calm. We don't have to get into the deepest things, but there's some people that you leave and you feel energized. There's some people you leave and you feel drained. And that's because as human beings, you know, from a space of biology, we've been wired to connect. We have a social engagement branch in our nervous system. So we're actually designed to connect with others. So while a lot of us have the self-help books anyway, we've been reading them. Are we using them?
Yeah.
You know, so
no.
The accountability, the raw emotional and body empathy felt in the room, because remember, we're energetic beings. We could sense things. Our brains have like detection centers that are primed to feel things that go beyond our language processing centers. So it's so much deeper than the work that you're teaching. It's also just having another nervous system just be experienced in a way that's safe. So that's where the power really comes from as well.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's why some people go to a therapist and like, therapy's crap. And I'm like, don't say that. Maybe you just need to find another nervous system that's better suited for yours or someone else. It's like, you have to shop around. You know, there's a lot of the same different frameworks, but you make it yours and you make it, you bring your humanity to the room. And that's what people really connect with. Because I'm sure many of us have received healing messages and gotten breakthroughs from people who weren't even equipped to be, you know, psychologists, but the energy and the nervous system power was enough for us to shift in a way that we probably don't know how to put yet, but the power's in the nervous systems, you know?
To your point, you know, shopping around and finding the right person for you, we all have shopped around for a hairdresser. We've all shopped around for a barber. You know, you're not just, you go to one, they you don't get the desired result, and you go find somebody else, and you go until, well, guess what? You still know you need a hair, you need a barber.
You know. Right, you need... be like, nah, that cutting hair thing is working.
Because even when you grow a ass, you're still going by somebody to wash your hair, neaten it up. You still have to go and find somebody even to do that.
Yeah, so.
You know, so you need it. And just to go about finding the right person. Yes, but Chelsea.
Keep an open mind. Like, oh gosh, like we're ready to write things off immediately. It's like, sometimes you just need to be open. Because if you go in expecting the worst, your brain's going to show you why it's the worst. So again, it starts with it's like we have actually like, so have you ever spoken about a red car and you oh, I saw a red car. It's not that a red car magically appeared. It's that you've trained your brain to seek red cars because our brains can't process everything around us. So when we tell it what to process, we're primed to look for those things. So if you look for the worst things about getting help and the worst, your brain is going to show you. So that's why it's so important to have an open mind and be optimistic about your journey and your future, because then your brain's going to be like, okay, this is what we're looking for, cool, and show you all the opportunities there is to get better for yourself. If you think Trinidad is worse and you keep telling your brain that, your brain's going to show you. So yeah. you have to kind of train it like your own little AI. You have to train it to look for what you really want. You have to guide your brain, you know? So
if there's an exercise, right, because not everybody has the finances, the resources to just go and take themselves to a therapist right now, right?
Right.
But everybody that's listening in has access to a free version of ChatGPT or Gemini or whatever one of these AI tools. Is there something that you think people could just do just to kind of get the ball rolling in the right direction of mental fitness? Is there an activity or is there a prompt that you can that you might have tried or seen people use where, again, it could get them started on their journey?
So ChatGPT has a great understanding of mental fitness. So I think even just saying something like, please give me the best research tools for mental fitness based on whatever I'm struggling with. So there's different pillars of mental fitness. There's like nervous system regulation and capacity building. There's identity clarity. So it's just kind of like, look at yourself and try to figure out what you think in the way that you know how to explain it, and then just explain that, and then just ask, what is the best mental fitness tool for this type of problem? And I think that it's going to give to you. Because again, for me, people don't even know that one of my strongest mental fitness tools is going to the gym. People somehow don't connect exercise with the mind, but people need to also understand that your nervous system governs the way that your mind works. So like if you're stressed, think about it. Traffic at the beginning of the day, you had the best breakfast, you connected with somebody who loves me, give you a bad drive. It's like, oh, really? Come on. At the end of the day, deadline, you got fired. Think, you ready to, the same human being could react so differently to the same thing based on your inner state, you know? So it just shows you how the state of your nervous system actually governs your behavior. So, you know, for me, breath work and going to the gym are like some of my top mental fitness tools because it works at the level of the body. And a lot of times the body is really what the body affects your mind. If your body's not well, your mind typically doesn't feel great. There's like a bi-directional relationship. So for me, people need to know that like mental fitness is not just mind stuff, because again, like I told you, willpower is not enough. It's anybody, physiology, because that's what's affecting us as humans. It's a nervous system that has just taken on, and now our mind is just the outcome of that nervous system that has gone beyond its capacity, you know? So whatever you're dealing with, you could simply explain it. I'm getting chest pains, because even when we have mental health stuff, it shows up in our bodies, you know? So the same Absolutely. Body stuff affects our minds, and that's why we need to take things from like a mind body direction. So you could simply use AI, tell them what you're going through, and just be like, give me the top mental fitness tips to get this breakthrough that I want, you know? But people love a quick fix, and they need to realize that mental fitness is not you do something once and you're good. You're good, you know? It's a consistent practice. It's deliberate effort. Sometimes your brain is like, oh, I don't feel to do this. And you have to be like, no, we're doing it, you know? And you have to stay at it. Again, it's like the gym. You don't go and do two little dumbbell. Be like, I'm not strong.
And as you said, your body knows, right? And there's a famous book, The Body Keeps a Score. Your body stores all these experiences, and it shows up in ways that we might not realize it. So for example, right? Funny story, but not funny story. There was a day. No, it's not bad. It's not bad. Okay. But you will understand where I'm coming from, right?
Right.
This is the first time in my life. I'm 38. This is the first time in my life where I've gone 8 months and never heard a gunshot.
Oh.
Right? This is right. The first time, right? So this is not a Trinidad thing. This is also Toronto.
Right.
This is everything, right? First time in my life I've gone 8 months and never heard a gunshot. So there was a day where I was laying in bed. Right. It's like 12 o'clock, like it's nighttime. I'm laying in bed and I heard fireworks. Now, understand that I have not heard a gunshot in 8 months.
Right.
This firework had my heart racing because I was like, holy crap. Like, that's how my body felt. My body felt right. like, holy crap, duck, what is going on? Where are these gunshots coming from? And then when it took me like, 15, 20 seconds to kind of realize it's a firework. You're right. Safe. Calm the hell down because your heart's just racing. Your body knows. Your body does keep the score, and it shows up even in little situations like that.
Yeah, your body senses things faster than your logical brain, because we have like the emotional brain that's there to like sense danger in our environment. And sometimes it gets, if you're in stress or trauma, that's stuck on. So even when you're like trying to do something, you might randomly actually get your heart starts racing. It's like, what's going on? Like, sometimes it's like your body has its own threat detection system that's working in a different way to your mind, and mental fitness also kind of gets those two in sync, So like I said, this thing, human beings are so complex, but that's why even just the manner in which you deal with yourself. So like I start with self-compassion. I say, this thing is not for the weak, but it's worth doing. And the best thing you could do on this journey of building your mental fitness is just being the supportive friend you always needed in your life. Just being a true wow. friend to yourself. Some of us aren't really kind to ourselves. We get more mad at the people where, and this is not everybody, sometimes people in relationships and people are treating them horribly and they're so upset with these people. I'm like, but you're treating yourself worse. And they're like, well, And it's like we put the pressure of so many other people to do things for us that we're not even willing to do for ourselves. Why is that? We put this pressure.
The accountability.
Respect me. It's like, but do you respect you? Like, are you sure? Is that reflected in the way that you treat with yourself? You're being so kind to everybody. I'm such a kind person. It's not that honorable when you're not kind to yourself. It's not that great.
Chelsea. We have taken up, TNT has gotten some additional time from you, and you've given us a lot to think about. You've given us a lot to think about. Yeah. What is your closing message to TNT when it comes to mental fitness as we approach the halfway point of 2025? It's crazy just even saying the halfway point.
I just want to say you're worth it. All this effort it takes in retraining your mind and stuff, like you're totally worth it as a human being. Do it for yourself. Yeah, it's really simple. Like back to self-love again. If you love yourself, then work on your mental fitness. But TNC, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed being here. This thing, even as a high performance psychologist, there are days where I struggle, and part of being, I read something and it was like, I'll share something personal fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. I feel terrible. I feel like I'm failing as a coach when I have days that aren't great. I'm like, I'm a mental fitness coach. Like, why am I should be good. I should be optimized. I should be ready, and then I had to realize that I'm a messy human teaching other people to be okay with being messy humans, because none of us are perfect. And in the ability to hold room for my emotions, because no amount of insight or knowledge will take away the realities we have as human beings going through different emotions. No emotions are good or bad. They just exist as signals to ensure that we show up in the world in the best way possible. So
I need you to say that one more time. I need you to say that one more time. That's a word.
I forget.
Oh my God.
My brain's processing speed is like super strong, but no amount of knowledge or insight is going to take away the reality of being a human that experiences a wide range of emotions. And sometimes your mental fitness training looks like just allowing yourself to be a human with emotions like grief and sadness, and knowing that it's okay. Doesn't make
and
you
emotions. Emotions aren't bad. They're just signals.
They're just chemicals inside our bodies. Like, there's not a bad emotion, a good emotion. They're just based on evolution. They're things that exist to ensure that we protect ourselves and get out of danger. Because even anger, it's not bad. It just tells us when someone's violating our boundaries. We need anger to tell us when somebody's doing something wrong to us, So just make room for your humanity. Make room for your mess.
Wow. No, that was powerful. Chelsea, Where can we find you? Where can we learn more about Cree Consulting? Where can people contact you so that they can get into the mental fitness gym and be good to go, have their mental fitness summer body?
Literally. Summer brain. Literally. Okay, their summer brain. Pick the best, living the best life ever. So y'all can find me at Chelsea Cree on Instagram. And I just built my website with my growth mindset. And it's CreeCoachingAndConsulting.com. If you kind of want to understand this thing a little more, figure it out. I know it's still a little new concept, but I try to educate as much as I can on my social media. So y'all can follow me there. And my DMs are open if you want to know more about mental fitness and how we can work together.
I'm going to advocate that Chelsea starts a podcast and dives into these nuanced topics, because I could listen to Chelsea talk all day. And when you listen to Chelsea talk, you just, and I'm sure the comments, I'm not in the studio to read the WhatsApp chat right now, but I'm sure many people were listening to you and seeing real life situations playing out. And right. They're now identifying with what you were saying, with situations that happened in your own life. I know it's happened to me sitting here just listening on this call and whatnot. But again, this is the best time to start focusing on you, start working on your mental health, because guess what, folks? As you can see, what's happening all around us, it's people not doing the inner work needed. And right. They're right now starting to become a very loud and noisy crowd. We got to start doing the work for ourselves, and collectively, we can build a much better TNT, a safer TNT, one where all of us are good and we feel good, you know?
Yeah.
So Chelsea, thank you for taking the time. See you at the, I'll see you next quarter as we
hey. You know how we say.
Yeah. Well, definitely.
I look forward to your new snake stories. I hope you don't pull the slipper again. We'll have to train the calm muscles to be more prepared.
You know what? I'm going to start with the non-venomous.
Yeah, baby steps.
Baby steps. Well, you know what? I did get to work with some pythons, and there was a lot of comfort in knowing that, hey, I mean, they have teeth, but they can't kill you.
Right. That's really not comforting either way. But you know what? If you like to play with slithering things, pop it off. Do you think? Not my.
If this was Harry Potter, I would have been.
Really? Okay, I hear you. Definitely not. Definitely not my, there's, you know, our attention is like your performance currency. That's not the thing I'd ever give my attention to, you know?
Yeah.
Not my vibe. Not my style.
So imagine you go on vacation and your friend pulls you into to a snake park.
My friend can't pull me in a snake park. Look what? My nose hot and heavy. I'm really good at saying no. Trust me.
Chelsea, always a pleasure every time we get to connect. So thank you.
Have an amazing day. TNT is Mental Health Month, but every month is Mental Health Month. Okay, take care of yourselves.
And I love it.
Be kind to each other. Bye.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.